get older, losing my hair many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. You guessed it. Why am I playing when I'm 64? Because Council on Aging of West Florida is here in the studio. This is a perfect theme song for y'all. Emily Echeverria is here. She is the director of marketing and wears multiple hats, I do believe, at the agency. How are you, Emily? And welcome to the show.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Meg.
Well, we had to play a little when I'm 64 because there's some myths around that, actually, because the Council on Aging, people think of people as seniors being 65 plus, but actually that bar has been lowered quite a bit over the years, and you serve a lot of people. I don't know that people really get how much Council on Aging of West Florida does for our community. So talk a bit about who y'all are and then sort of that definition of a senior.
Sure. So you're right. We do a lot of different things. Most people know Meals on Wheels.
Right.
We do Meals on Wheels. That's one of our most public-facing programs, delivering meals to homebound seniors. We also have dining sites where seniors 60 and up can go out in the community and have a meal and have some socialization, have some community and fellowship. Also, there's games and crafts and just different things at each of our dining sites. We have 16. And we also have social services. That is the foundation of what we do. We have a team of case managers and a case aide who are in people's homes, helping connect them with resources and get them hooked up with the programs that we do that can help them. In-home services like chores, homemaker, anything non-medical that happens in the home that someone needs to continue living independently, because that's where we find seniors want to be. They want to be in their homes, in their communities, where they're most comfortable. And for our services, it is mostly 60 and up, but we do have a program for volunteers 55 and up. So if someone's older adult, 55 and up, engaged, wants to help out, wants to serve, they can serve with children as a foster grandparent, or they can serve with other seniors as a senior companion. And of course, we also have our adult daycare, The Retreat, which is for any adult. They don't have to necessarily even be a senior, but it is mostly older adults who have some level of cognitive decline, or they're on the dementia journey and kind of the middle stages. Mm-hmm. And that is a place where the caregiver can drop them off for the day, Monday through Friday. Home-like, stimulating environment, just very engaging, very compassionate staff, two nurses on staff, and that caregiver can get that respite, can go to work, do what they need to do while their loved one is safe and cared for.
Well, that is I'm already tired. That's a long yeah. list of things that y'all are doing every day. And I had heard from the Craig, who had a shoemaker who does the Meals on Wheels program, mm-hmm. and he is extraordinary. He's been doing it now for several years. And I had no idea how many people were being reached by that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. For our Meals on Wheels program, it's almost 300 people, I believe, that are receiving Meals on Wheels. And these are delivered once a week. It's more than a meal. It's also, we say, a friendly visit. It's a welfare check. They can't just leave the meals there if the person doesn't answer the door. If someone unexpectedly does not answer the door, then there's a whole reporting process to make sure something isn't, you know, going wrong with that person. They're also the first kind of line of defense if they see a decline in the person that they're visiting. And they stop and chat with them. They get to know them. They care about them. They're checking in and helping them out, you know, move their trash can for them, whatever Aww. They need. That little extra bit of socialization, bit of connection that homebound seniors need. And it might be kind of their only social interaction of the week.
That's true. That makes me sad, but at the same time, yeah. I'm so grateful that they have that and someone that can check on them and talk to them. And so it's not DoorDash where they're ringing the bell and dropping it off.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. A lot of times they go in and put it on the counter for them, mm-hmm. or even in their
nice.
Freezer for them. And it's all volunteers that do that. And they are long-term volunteers. They're not people that they just see that client one time. Mm-hmm. Most of them have been there for a couple years. They know the people on their route. They know what's going on with them. And it really does form a connection between the client and the driver.
Well, the people at Council on Aging of West Florida make a big difference in individual lives and also just in the grand picture of working for seniors and for some of the different things that seniors need. And the senior population is getting bigger, isn't it?
Absolutely. Florida is experiencing what we're calling the silver tsunami.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh.
It makes it sound kind of cool, but
it does. I was going to say it.
We have huge populations of older adults moving into Florida, and as well as the population here aging, and it is and will continue to cause a strain on the healthcare industry, the care worker, and like assisted living, nursing facilities, all these types of that, all those in-home care services. There will be a labor strain. There will be a just a huge logistical and financial strain when it comes to getting these services to the people who need them, just because of the huge increase in need that is incrementally happening right now.
And you're part of a whole network statewide, correct? Because there's other agencies that you, I understand, get together with and talk about best practices and things like that.
Absolutely. We are part of the State Aging Services Network. It starts at the Department of Elder Affairs in Tallahassee, and then we're separated into 11 PSAs across the state. And we're PSA 1, which is headed by the, we call it the AAA, the Northwest Florida Area Agency on Aging, which is over the four-county area. And we're the service provider for Escambia and Santa Rosa under that Northwest Florida Area Agency. So we connect, and Josh and I, my boss, our CEO, are on a state board that is an advocacy board, the Florida Association of Aging Services Providers, not to throw all these acronyms at you. And what this group is meant to do is advocate on behalf of the Aging Services Network. So we have representatives from across the state, and we liaise with the Department of Elder Affairs and the greater public and our members about what are the advocacy needs of the network. You know, what are the issues the network is facing? We get together, and yes, we trade best practices. We, are you having this issue? We're seeing a lot of this. Are you seeing that? How have you dealt with that? So it's a great collaborative effort to just share resources, share ideas, and figure out how together we can address the issues and challenges facing our aging population in Florida. And we actually have our Florida Conference on Aging coming up August 2nd through 5th.
Oh, next week, this week, yeah.
So we'll be meeting with that group on August 2nd.
Well, you'll have to have you come back and be on the show and give us an update on what was discussed.
I would love to do that. Yeah, it's always a great, invigorating time to go to these kind of conferences and to speak with this group and just see what's going on across the network.
Well, so often when they have the conversation about seniors, we hear so much of the negatives, but with agencies like yours, there is so much positive being done, and there are so many people who are getting the services that they need and are also contributing themselves. Like you said, they're volunteering their time to chip in as well.
Absolutely.
So if you know somebody in your family, or maybe somebody, maybe a neighbor that you know is elderly, but they don't really get out of the house much or something, you can take a moment and actually give Council on Aging a call and possibly see if maybe they might be eligible for something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you have a neighbor that is older or seems like maybe they're not getting a lot of connection, I would say check in on them and see if they have a need. And if they seem like they need more resources, to give us a call or call the Elder Helpline, which is the Northwest Florida Area Agency on Aging's helpline, which is the start of the eligibility process for our services, because most of our services, some of them you can private pay for, or they're covered by long-term care insurance somewhat.
That was my next question.
Yes.
Is how is this all paid for?
You can pay for Meals on Wheels private pay, $7.50 a meal. You can pay for the Retreat Adult Daycare private pay, $90 a day. And if you compare that to the price of in-home care, it's very affordable. But you can also do like one day a week, or you can do 5 days a week. So otherwise, you would be starting with the Elder Helpline, which is through the Northwest Florida Area Agency on Aging. 494-7100 is the local number. Ask to take the Elder Assessment. It's about 45 minutes on the phone to take this assessment that asks about activities of daily living. It's scored, and then when there's a wait list for the state, but we want to encourage people, get that process started. If you think you might need it. I know it's bureaucratic, it's a process, but we want people to get started before the need is so dire that you need, you know, an APS call, basically.
Right.
So, because our staff also, our social services staff also does deal with adult protective services calls where, you know, that's when someone is
in trouble,
in danger, in immediate danger.
So give that number again.
Yes, it is 850-494-7100.
Okay.
At 7100.
Talking with Emily Echeverria. She is with Council on Aging of West Florida. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Pep Talk. If you've got a question about the Council on Aging and their services, or perhaps a comment to make, all you got to do is text it into Pep Talk at 850-437-1620. Right now, she is the expert in the house on services for the elderly and the Council on Aging. You're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, talking with Emily Echeverria from the Council on Aging of West Florida. This agency does so much for our community, and I don't know if people realize how much that costs. This is a nonprofit agency. What is your annual budget?
So our annual budget is about $9 million.
Wow, and that's a break-even budget. Nobody's making a profit on that, correct? All of it is like line by line.
We're 501c3. Right. You can look up our financials on our website. It's lower than 10% for our administrative costs. Almost all of the money goes directly into programs. And it's about 60% from federal sources, which would be Older Americans Act funding.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also get state general revenue funding. So about 85% total is that state and federal funding.
Mm-hmm.
The rest we raise in the community. And, you know, we might get grants, we get private donations. And for every dollar that we raise in the community from a private donation, that allows us to pull down about $9 of that state and federal match. So we're required to raise in the community to pull down our match funding.
Mm-hmm.
We get funding from some municipal sources, like we get county community development block grant funding, things like that. And so that is one reason why we are very concerned about the property tax discussion going on at this time. Like I said, that advocacy group that we're a part of from the state level is also very concerned, because this will affect these kinds of local services all throughout the state of Florida.
Right. So how much would it cost you if that passed and you lost the funds that you do get from property taxes? How much would that be about?
So our CEO is kind of looking at the numbers, and he said we stand to lose about $200,000, over $200,000 a year, if this does end up passing. And, that's a huge chunk for us. And that's the types of funding that goes to that general funding that we can spend on whatever we need it for, which is usually these higher cost services to the most vulnerable seniors, things that would normally come from a funding stream called CCE, Community Care for the Elderly. And that's what pays for our most vulnerable case managed clients in the homes for their in-home services, which are more expensive.
Well, and you also take a role in advocacy, because there's a lot of misunderstanding about the elderly, about the dementia, Alzheimer's, all the different ways that the elderly are affected. And so talk a bit about that, Emily, because there have been some controversy, actually, about people being arrested and things like that.
Absolutely. And that's another thing that we're keeping a close eye on in our community. The Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office has been kind of on the front end of trying to get ahead of dealing with other populations that maybe aren't in the general procedures for public safety.
Mm-hmm.
So they have passed legislation having to do with people that are on the autism spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And they are also working on trying to get some legislation about dealing with people who have some level of dementia, because we have cases where it's like there's no good answer, there's no good solution. We had things like, you'll recall last summer, the Elizabeth Collins case.
Mm-hmm.
She was a 70-something-year-old woman who had attacked her husband several times, and because she didn't recognize him. And the police had been out there multiple times. She ended up going to jail because there was not a good place to put her otherwise. There was no other solution. She was a danger to her husband. He was out of options. So he's trying to be a caregiver to his wife. He's getting attacked. He eventually just had to let them take her.
What a sad situation.
It was. And so there just needs to be better solutions, better pathways for our law enforcement officers working with the community of aging services the assisted living, the memory care facilities that can get, and the hospitals, because they all have to be working together. They all have to be on the same page. It needs to be something like adding it back to the Baker Act, so that you can place a hold where this person is going somewhere that's safe, where they can get treatment, but it isn't incarceration. And this is something that...
So at this time, then, that's not on the Baker Act?
Correct. Baker Act is not...
So can you mention what the Baker Act is?
The Baker Act is if someone gets, quote-unquote, Baker Acted, they have a 72-hour hold for psychiatric or behavioral mental health issues. They're going to a psych ward, basically, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're held there for 72 hours.
And so at this time, someone with dementia is not included in that?
Correct. And that's one kind of solution that people have discussed.
It seems like they should be. I would think it's a mental illness.
Well, it's a neurological disorder, yeah. Right? And it's not something that is going to get better, but it can be better medicated or better treated. So mm-hmm. it's like ultimately that person needs to get on the right medications to get rid of those violent tendencies, to calm them down, and to have a long-term care plan that is sustainable, because obviously in the home, in that case, it's no longer sustainable.
Right, right. Talking with Emily Echeverria with the Council on Aging of West Florida. If you've got a question, 850-437-1620. We could do several hours, I think, Emily, talking about mm-hmm. the issues that are affecting those that are retiring and then the folks that are reaching senior age. And actually, the population now, more of the population is getting older than younger. If that makes any sense. So it's an interesting dilemma to have.
In fact, no one is getting younger.
Well, that's true. I should have I need to rephrase that. That sounded like a dumb blonde, didn't it? That's not what I meant, but I think you know what I meant. Okay, regroup. Okay, so, but one of the things that I've noticed, too, is that the attitude that we have about seniors is very different from, say, other cultures. I know, for example, in Japan, they revere the elderly. They keep them at home. They really have a whole different, they see the elderly as sources of wisdom.
Yes, I think ageism is one of the last isms that is perfectly acceptable and completely expected. We're mm-hmm. expected to, no, you don't want to look old. Of course right.
oh
you
my
don't
God.
Want to look. That would be the worst thing in the
plastic
world.
Plastic surgery's on a boom right now.
Yes, it's so.
Even looking over 30 now has become a thing.
Exactly. People are getting preventative Botox. No.
Preventative Botox.
But even above and beyond looks, just the idea of a senior moment, the idea that you get slower and less quick-witted, less fun with age. And that is not necessarily, that's not true. And, you know, just the way you probably feel in your mind that you're mm-hmm. in your whatever, I've always feel 27, but even though I'm 40. And just the idea that getting older is obviously bad. And it's like, what's the alternative? Getting old is a blessing.
That's
getting
right.
old is...
It's better than the alternative.
Exactly. And so we need to treat our elderly better, and we need to systematically treat them better systemically.
Yeah, I think it's so important to not be trying to find a place to put them away, but how can we incorporate the people who have lived lifetimes? They have all this experience and knowledge from the business world to the personal world and raising kids and grandkids and I mean, just so
Absolutely.
Many different... One of the things of programs I love that y'all do is the foster grandparent program.
Oh, yes.
Can you talk about that? That's just really
sure.
special to That's me.
That's our AmeriCorps Seniors Volunteer Program for, I mentioned earlier, 55 and older. They get a background screening. They get training. They are engaged. Most of them tell me they retired and were bored, and mm-hmm. they just don't want to sit at home watching Judge Judy. They want to be out in the world connecting with people just like anyone. So they are taking their wisdom, love, they're taking it to the schools, to the child development centers, and they are in a classroom, and they're giving the kids in that classroom, all of them, a little extra love and attention, but especially usually they're assigned kind of certain students who need a little bit of extra help.
Mm-hmm.
And they're working with them to get them caught up academically and emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've had a hard day. Sometimes they'll talk to Granny about it before they would talk to their teacher or someone else. So they're making, we just went to Child Discovery Center at First Presbyterian to uh-huh. do a story with one of them. Barbara Hudgens, she has been there with her good childhood friend for several years. But this friend that also is serving as a foster grandparent there, they've known each other since they were young girls.
Wow.
And they've moved all over, but they're both back here. They're both serving at this location, and they just love those children. And my daughter actually went there as well, and she loved her granny. She would come home and tell me, "Granny gave me a bag of Cheetos," and I was like, "Whose grandma is in there handing out snacks?" But it's the people in this program. They call most of them. They call Granny or Gigi. They have little names for them. But yeah, and it's keeping the foster grandparent volunteer engaged, connected,
and useful,
feeling purposeful. Yes, exactly. It gives them a reason to get up in the morning and keep themselves, you know, vital and active, because they are making a difference in these children's lives. And they know they are when they, you know, go to bed at night. Mm-hmm. They know they're making a difference. And then those kids are getting that extra love. It's just such a beautiful two-way street of benefits for everyone.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back with Emily with the Council on Aging. This is Pep Talk. Go ahead, and Emily, and tell us how we can help out if we're interested in donating or volunteering with Council on Aging.
Sure. Go to our website, which is coawfla.org, or just Google Council on Aging of West Florida will be the first thing that comes up. And hit that give back button. You can donate, you can give us a call, volunteer, and shout us out.
All right, and then mark your calendars. Got a big event coming up, which we're going to have her come back to tell us all about it, the Rat Pack Reunion.
That's October 16th.
Mark your calendars now, and you can find out all about it on the website.
Thanks, Meg.
All right, thank you so much, Emily. Council on Aging of West Florida doing so much good in our community. Thanks for being here this morning. This is Pep Talk.
Of course.